morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. Well, you know, it's Mother's Day, so happy belated Mother's Day, graduation day, last Thursday, we did a send-off for our seniors at Hampton University Sports Management Department. And just know that all of my students are familiar with the Chat in the Garden and for several of you guests. And so never be surprised if you get a LinkedIn message from my students, because I use the Chat in the Garden as a teaching method, especially about how you navigate the career fair. And, you know, it's interesting because people always will try to connect with me, you know, for advice and whatnot. And I have to be very honest, there's a price for my advice. However, the free advice is listening to A Chat in the Garden. For 8 years, we have had guests to share their career path, their advice for others, and their current mission. And so I got a surprise. I think it was yesterday. A young girl got accepted to law school, and she just said, Monique A.J. Smith is the bomb. And I was like, okay, I don't think I talked to this young lady. And then she sent me a message. And she was one to ask me, you know, should she go to law school? And I said, well, or go to get her MBA. And I said, well, I'll be honest with you. I have done compliance, and many of my colleagues are in compliance, don't have a law degree. So that's not a requirement to be an athletic administrator. I said, but that was 30 years ago. I said, but go ahead and type in law school inside of Chat in the Garden and see what pops up as it relates to previous interviews on the Chat in the Garden. And so she said that was the best advice. So I'm saying all that to say we've got lots of young people who just crossed the stage this weekend or got one more week. I probably got one more weekend of part of graduation. And guess what? They're starting all over again. You know, and they're going to be a little nervous. And so I really would suggest that you tell them to go listen to A Chat in the Garden. Just go to chatinthegarden.com. Or season 1 through 5 is a course. And then go to 200plus.expert. For me, the nerd in me, whenever I get stressed or have anxiety, if I am learning something, I pick up a book, if I listen to a podcast now, it eases my anxiety about the future. That's what growth does. Even though growth is uncomfortable, the uncertainty of the future, you control the controllables. You can control the intake of learning. So that's my gift to all graduates, is to just grab some type of learning tool, whether it's a podcast, this podcast, a book. That will give you a sense of ownership of your journey. Okay? And, you know, I'm all about leadership. I'm all about growth. That's why we're in the garden where people grow. And so it was Monday. I traveled back to my hometown, home county, rather, of Sussex County, Virginia. Had the privilege of serving Sussex County Youth and Adult Recreation Association. With a signature workshop that I do for youth. It's called Take the Mic, Voice Over Your Fears to Lead Your Peers. And I created that workshop back in 2014. My mentor, Dr. Carolyn Hines, asked me to take over a spot that she had at Old Dominion University. Every spring, they had a girls' conference. And this particular year, she was not able to make it. And so there's the different rooms, and you do a workshop. And so when I attended my mentor's workshop, she had the standard self-esteem activity where you have magazines and you cut them out and you put them on a silhouette. And I said, okay, can't do that because these kids today are going to laugh you out of water. They'll probably look at you and say, what do you do with these scissors? You know, they used to cut and paste on a computer. So back then, I interviewed a young 15-year-old. I said, what are some issues going on in your life? What would you think that would be good, you know, that would keep the interest of young girls of your area? And then come and help me create it. Well, you know, the interesting thing, that's called market research, okay? You need to know what your audience wants to know. So she shared with me, she didn't use the word self-esteem, but, you know, there are just issues that's going on. And body image was one of them. And so interesting enough, I was able to attack that and create that and get people to help me with that. And it was a grand time. And so guess what? Fast forward 2022, guess who helped me deliver, take the mic 2020 version? Yes, that young girl is now a grown woman of 23 years old. She has gone to Virginia State, got her degree in engineering, and now works for Dominion Power. And she started her own nonprofit called Sweet Spot, a sports and education group. And she educated me. Sweet Spot is actually a sports term as it relates to tennis, because she was a tennis player at Virginia State. And she shared, you know, she pointed to her hand, but she says the center of the racket. And when you hit that sweet spot, you have flow. And then she says something about equalizers, that she wants her company to be a diversity equalizer. I said, go ahead, girl. So I'm talking about Christina Washington. And this is the thing. Look, this little 14-year-old was quiet as a mouse. She's not quiet anymore. So, just seeing her was just joy. Because that's what I do. I plant seeds of empowerment, lead others to greatness. And so it was a joy to bring the 2022 version to this crowd. And ironically, so what I do, I share videos of young leaders of how they've taken the mic to voice over their fears over issues that were important to their young life. And it's been unfortunate that we have to share these incidents, but we need to use it as a learning tool. And really unfortunate, I just want to give a shout out to Delaware State. I did travel to Delaware State in October, and I led a workshop called Our Playing Field is Expanding. Yes, coaching young people, building leaders is different than it was, especially when I was in school. And these young ladies, lacrosse team for Delaware State University, traveled down to Georgia. And they got pulled over by the police on an interstate for traveling on the wrong I guess it must have been HOV lane, or I'm not really sure. But they got searched, people. They got searched. They pulled them over, had the bus driver get out, open the bottom of the gate, and pulled out their suitcases and bags and went through their personal belongings looking for so-called drugs. I honestly, this is about the closest thing that's ever come to me when it comes to injustice to somebody I know that this has actually happened to. And I am 1,000% appalled. But I'm really proud of how the young ladies handled themselves. So I will say this. You just cannot just have the talk with your male athlete. The talk meaning how to deal with police. It's got to be with your girls as well. Yeah, because, see, I'm one of those ones that somebody had to smack me and tell me to, you know, not talk back. That's my natural tendency. And I almost got in trouble a couple of years ago, in my hometown, matter of fact. And so I'm real cognizant of my own actions and to, you know, we see the TV shows and whatnot, and it's always a male, you know, keep your head straight, answer the questions, don't make any sudden movements. And we don't realize we're going to have that same conversation with our female student athletes as well. If they, because they may not have had to talk while they were at home. So, yeah, and again, there's some leaders, some top leaders going to address this issue. But from a standpoint of leadership, of guiding coaches who guide student athletes, I'm really proud of how they handled it. They went into documentary mode, taking pictures, asking questions, just true leaders. And so they really are taking the mic. Yes, they are taking the mic. They're voiceovering their fears and leading their peers. At this point, their peers are other student athletes, other colleges, and saying the injustice that they experienced in 2022. And it's interesting because I did watch the Apple TV show with Durant in it, and it had a very similar scene. But that was on TV, y'all, and very similar scene. So you can use the scene to have provoking conversations with your student athletes, or you can just go ahead and talk about the real-life situation that happened. And these are the things that I share with the middle school students in Sussex County. And guess what? They knew what to call it. I even told them about the Crown Act. And the Crown Act is just not for girls. It's for guys, too. So just thank you for Sussex County for having me out there. And look, I took that workshop off the shelf and dusted it off and brought some new experiences, new conversations. Again, the Crown Act, Gabby Douglas and bullying. But, you know, I can see something birthing from that bad situation with Delaware State. I can see some of these young folks really taking the mic and doing it. So just take a go and look up that Delaware State lacrosse team. It all happened last week. And, you know, share that and let's use it as a teaching moment for our own student athletes. Hey, I'm getting closer and closer to getting to Houston. Yes, I am attending the Black Student Athlete Summit May 23rd to 26th at Rice University. We're having our annual Chatner Garden breakfast Tuesday morning, May 24th at 6:30 in the morning. I know it's early, but you know the early risers, the action takers are the ones that what? Get it done. So if you're going to be at the Black Student Athlete Summit in Houston, May 23rd to 26th, come out Tuesday morning at 6:30 in the morning and join me at the Weston Medical Center, Houston, in the morning at 6:30. And what all we're going to do is just eat and fellowship. Well, let's say sistership. Huh? But I'm sure we might have some guys there as well. So email me if you plan to attend so I can make sure that when I arrive, I have appropriate seating for our group. Email me at MoniqueAJSmith@seasonempowerment.info. Again, MoniqueAJSmith@seasonempowerment.info. Well, I have been talking about the golf tournament that I will be speaking at June the 10th at Kings Mill Resort. But guess what? They just told me it was sold out. And so, hey, I'm excited about sharing my leadership tips there. But I will say I did purchase my timeshare in Williamsburg at the same time. So I have set aside some time to have some VIP days in Williamsburg. And so if you're interested, again, of having your own leadership tip, power day, VIP day, I am taking slots for that. So email me about that as well. MoniqueAJSmith@seasonempowerment.info. And I am excited that we're going to be live again for our annual reception. This is our eighth annual listener appreciation reception. We'll be at the NACTA convention in Vegas. So mark your calendar because, you know, you all are going from here, there, and there. And I'm the same way. I got certain things I cannot move that I must be intending. But listen, I know how it is. You see somebody in the hallway, let's go, you know, grab a bite to eat. Look, you put this on your calendar and you don't let it be moved, okay? Because we're going to be celebrating. We're going to be connecting at our eighth annual listener appreciation reception. Oh, yeah, we're going to have some food, too. So mark your calendar for Monday, June 27th at 7 p.m. We will be at my timeshare there as well. And so definitely need you to register so I can send you what unit to come to, okay? So hats off to our longstanding sponsor, NCAA Leadership Development, IEDD Merit. Thank you so much for believing in the mission of the Chattanooga Garden. We will be also celebrating our award-winning Deb Award. Deb is short for Deborah Award. It is named after the woman in the Bible who gave the most advice under a tree. So in this setting, the tree is translated into the garden, and this person is the person who had the most listeners of the previous season, so that would have been season 7, and that person is none other than Dr. Sonia Riddick Shaw, and she is the founder of Woman in Color Recreation and Sports. So to register so you can get into the know where to find us, go to significanceinathletics.com. Significanceinathletics.com to register. And shout out to our newest partner, Seawall Foundation. They are offering media training for student athletes. I'm really excited about that because with the name, image, and likeness on that, this is so important, not just for television or after the game. We're looking at social media. Kids are putting up TikToks and things like that. If they're going to do it, you might as well train them to do it correctly. And I think I shared this last week. we did a marketing piece with AAU teams of what makes them select the tournaments they will go to. And the number one reason is exposure. They want exposure for their players, and meaning that you're doing interviews with their players. So if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you have an AAU team, or you have a, if you know of a young person who's trying to be seen, you might want to really, really look into this training. And I did this when I was in the CIAA. I hired a company such as this, and we traveled, and we informed the SAC kids how to come off the court and answer a question, you know, when the outcome wasn't favorable. You know, so you might as well practice that answer. And the most important thing from a person who majored in mass media, you got to learn how to control the message. What's the message? What is the message you want to convey when you have the mic in your hand? And so, you know, honestly, kids today, they want to throw shade. You know, they used to battles, the rap battles, and, you know, and there's some truth that bad publicity is still good publicity because it's out there. But we got to change. We have to train them how to brand themselves now, because name, image, and likeness is not going away. But they got to learn how to utilize it to their best interest. So I like to say, I'm really glad about she's an excellent person to do this, because she has her own Seawall Sports Entertainment, where she does travel and interview players. She just came back from the draft. It housed in the Washington Commanders. And if you see her, you'll be able to see that she does know what she's talking about as it relates to the media. So she's back. Actually, you know, she was here this weekend. I missed her. She's branching out, preparing our players for light camera action, so we don't have any sorry Miss Jackson moments. For more information, go to info@seawallfoundation.org. Again, Seawall, C-W-A-L-L, foundation.wall. Well, yours truly, oh, that's this weekend. Bam. I got to make sure I don't double book myself. So if you have questions about name, image, and likeness, there is a conference that's taking place this Saturday. It's the 2022 Virtual Name, Image, and Likeness Conference. It's Show Me the Money. And yours truly has a segment on there. And, but I also will be available to answer live questions as well. So my segment was recorded, but I will be on to be able to answer questions live. And, so to sign up for that is GuiciWealthManagement.com. GuiciWealthManagement.com. G-U-I-C-E WealthManagement.com. Come and get into the know about name, image, and likeness, and be glad to see you there, okay? Z Butler, she is big on the identity, student-athlete identity, and she is in the third issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports, but she also has a book out, 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete, Resources for Parents, Athletes, and Administration. Get your copy today by going to payhip.com/theballcode. Okay? Payhip.com/theballcode. And I think I got one more. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I will be back on tonight at 6 p.m. inside the private Facebook group. And I will, this is the interesting conversation, because, again, Meet the Contributors are the contributors to our magazine, Significance in Athletics and Sports. And this Wednesday, tonight at 6 p.m., I will be interviewing Tyrese McAllister. And she has a very interesting article inside the latest magazine. And if you're wondering how to get the magazine, you can get it from Amazon by typing in Significance in Athletics and Sports. Or you can go to payhip.com, Season Empowerment, to get the PDF version. But she works in law enforcement, and she's really, that's just, I know that this is a happy place to grow, but some things, again, are unpleasant, but we cannot have our head in the sand. Let's just be honest. Athletics has some black eyes as it relates to rape culture. And we cannot have our head in the sand as it relates to that. You really should not have to have a presidential mandate to address this. Don't wait till you have a major issue. And so that's really what she's talking about, training and how to look at the predators and be able to deter some things that may happen. And let's just be clear. In college life, that's all they think about is type of a relationship, if you will. But we need to make sure we teach them about healthy relationships. And we understand the rape culture is really all about power. Okay? So I know it's a little deep subject, but come and join me tonight at 6 p.m. Because this is what she does for a living. And she has had some experience of trying to deal with the athletic world in this area. And I thought it would be interesting to put it in the ears of our athletic administrators via the magazine and now the Facebook Live. So tonight at 6 p.m. inside the private Facebook group, Chat in the Garden. And lastly, it's time to take control of your health by getting more fruits and vegetables into your body. Bridge the gap between what you do eat and what you should eat. Contact Jolene Robinson of Stepping to Win. She wants to help you. Contact her at 980-298-2231, 980-298-2231, or email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. Yes. Oh, see, this is why my engineer is the bomb. You're absolutely right. Cannot forget surviving the light. A professional athlete's playbook to avoiding the curse by Tawana Smith. Hey, I just saw a podcast of her on, and guess what? She's got a second book coming out. So her first book deals with something that we're talking about right now is name, image, and likeness, is about our student athletes getting paid. And in her book, she talks about getting paid and keeping the money. Yeah, and so it's interesting because you got to know about the money part of this name, image, and likeness. They need to have somebody that understands tax preparing. They need to understand what's a good deal, because the administrator can't tell a student athlete what's good or bad. That's one of the, well, in our state, they say it's something that you can't, that's not your role. All you're supposed to do is tell us there's no conflict with the school. So they need some assistance. And so her book called Surviving the Life, the Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse, is about selecting the people to be on your team to help you prepare. And honestly, it may not be your aunt, your uncle, your next-door neighbor who does accounting, because it just may not understand all that takes place. So I learned a lot. I had again, 1,000% promote this book. It's on Amazon in three different formats. in audio, paperback, and ebook. And I'm crossing my fingers that Tawana does come to Las Vegas and do a book signing. Okay, so now I'm ready. Thank you so much, my eyes and ears. So today we got a veteran. And, you know, I'm glad because we can talk about a little bit about compliance, but I really want to talk about how you go from compliance all the way up to the top. We got Makita Armstead, Executive Associate AD at SWA at the University of Nebraska. Welcome to the garden, Makita. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Girl, I'm so excited. I'm like, I've known her for years.
Yes.
I might not have known
yes,
you,
yes.
known you, but I know
uh-huh.
you.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, and I don't know which, look, with your extensive background, I'm not too sure which university I know you for, because it's like, oh, yeah, I remember. So I'm going like, oh, wow. So I remember
exactly. I was at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, and I was in the Leadership Institute when it was in Chapel Hill, and you came and spoke to us there. So that was my first time meeting you.
Oh, wow.
Mhm.
That was 2012.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that was 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, 10 years ago.
Wow. And see, by you telling me that, I know that means that you love to learn.
Yes, I do. I do.
Yeah.
I do. So everything that you were saying, I was just nodding my head, and I was like, that's right. You know, I'm sitting here at my desk and listening to you talk, you know, and give the advice to the young people, and all of it is true. I couldn't have said anything better or more than what you already said. So.
God bless you. Well, you are going to say some stuff. You're going to tell everybody about your career path from college
there.
So let's go.
Okay. So I'm one of the more of the, I guess you would say, new age administrators. I did not play a sport in college, but I have loved sports pretty much my entire life. My watch, read. I was back in, you know, would read the sports page, try to steal it before my dad for, you know, I'm not that old, but it feels like a lifetime ago to get the newspaper every morning and try to, you know, go and look at the scores and do those things. So I've always been around it. And I knew pretty early, Monique, that I wanted to work in sports. I was not sure and focused on an area. So you go to college, and my intention when I enrolled at Mississippi State was to do sports law. And so you go through college, and you get to the end, and I was pretty tired of school, to be honest, and I'm like, I don't think law school is for me. And so I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I worked full-time as a bank teller for the year out of college. I stayed in the area also, and my mother was, you know, towards the end of that first year, she was like, you know, what are you going to do? Like, you got to pick a lane, and what is it going to be? And I wasn't really sure. And Mississippi State had a sport administration program, master's degree. And back then there were, you know, you had Ohio University, some of the well-known schools, Miami, that had that program. It was pretty new discipline, but they had it there. Mm-hmm. And so since I was there and wouldn't require a move, I went and talked to some of the professors in the department and decided that that's what I was going to do. I took the GRE, I think, 3 days later, and I started that summer, which I think at that time it was May. I started maybe 3 weeks after having that conversation with my mom. And so she kind of gave me that push to do it and to make that decision, and I did it. I get into the program. And still, you know, it was very college athletics based, because I think it depends on which master's program you're in. Some of them are geared toward professional sports, and some of them, you know, are geared toward college athletics. The program I was in was geared mostly towards college athletics, and my professor and advisor in the program, he had been a compliance director, so he talked a lot about that job and what that job looked like, and then what happened to him as a compliance director, which it didn't end well, but he's he's fine now. Of course, he's been teaching for, you know, more than 20 years. But it really did interest me, and it seemed like something that I felt like I could do, you know, and I didn't know a lot. You think you know more than you do. So I did an internship at Mississippi State in the compliance department for a summer, and then I had started at that point applying to full-time internships and got a full-time internship at Ohio University, Ohio being my home state. So it was an opportunity to go back. And I lived with my parents in Columbus, and I worked in Athens. And so that was an hour drive. I did that drive every day back and forth because I, you know, just wanted to be in this industry, and it was the best mm-hmm. way for me to be able to do it and be able to afford it. And thankful that I had, you know, parents that, again, were supportive and could help me to do that, cause, and I'm aware everybody doesn't have that. Then from Ohio University, I went and became the director of compliance, the first full-time director ever at the University of Tennessee Chattanooga, and I was a one-person shop for all the compliance people. They know what that means. I was entry level, but that was not an entry level job. And I tell people that all the time. It took me about 3 years to really feel comfortable, really feel like I knew what I was doing, that I had my footing. I always tell women this, and minorities too. Like, and it was also, you add a layer to that, that you're telling people what to do. And people don't always want to hear us, and that's true. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't as aware of that as I am now. So the way that I did the job might have looked a little bit different. You're telling people no, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. And what I learned out of that, and one of the things I've taken with me everywhere, is it's all about relationships. You got to build those relationships with these people. We're working with them, but people are more apt to do things for you or do things in the way that you want it done. If you have some type of relationship, working relationship, we don't have to be best friends, but we just have a foundation that they know I want what's best for them, the institution, and for also for myself, protecting myself at the same time and doing a good job. So those are the things I take with me that I learned the harder way for myself, but I've taken them everywhere that I've gone since then. I stayed at Chattanooga for about 5 years, 5.5 years, and then I moved to FCS, that's what Chattanooga is, and FBS back in the day, there was no Power Five, but I wanted to work for an FBS institution, so Georgia Tech had an opening, and I took an intentional step down in title. So I went from being the number one person, and by that time I was supervising an assistant director. So it was a two-person shop. Took the step down in title and became like the number three person in a bigger office, associate director at Georgia Tech, and I did that. And so there, you know, just using, I had to be responsible for everything. And at Georgia Tech, you're assigned bylaws. We were broken out by bylaws. Mm-hmm. And it was just a great mm-hmm. opportunity to work in a bigger office, work with different people, and I really enjoyed it. I was there about 9 months, and we had some office turnover. So the head of the office and the director, I had been promoted to director because the director had been let go. And then the head of the office the next month was let go. So then I'm back down. It's just me and one other person. And I always tell people that had it not been for my experience working at Chattanooga, I wouldn't have had an idea of how to go forward, how are we going to divide this work up, how are we going to get it done. Mm-hmm. It was in the summertime. And back then we used to have, you know, we had designated breaks, but we were getting ready for academic years. It was a trying time, but we made it through it. And again, I always go back to every place that I've been, I've had to take something with me. And that was the biggest thing from Chattanooga to Georgia Tech, is just being able to take the change and roll with it and get the work done. So I stayed at Georgia Tech for about three years, and then the opening at, there was an associate AD, head of the office at the University of South Florida. And I'm going to just take this back to talking about Leadership Institute and the importance of connections and your network. The person that was exiting that role was Elliot Charles, and he was my Leadership Institute classmate, and Jocelyn Fisher Gates was the SWA there, and she was also my Leadership Institute classmate. So when that opening came, both of them were like, we're going to put you forward. And again, just having that connection, I always tell people Leadership Institute, and again, shouting out Dee Dee and Curtis was the head of leadership development back then, changed the trajectory of my life professionally, like the things I learned from there, and also just giving me that network of people that I didn't have as a one person compliance officer in an SCS school, but just having those people that I could lean on, or also, you know, they that were helping each other. As that job came up, and they were like, we put you forward, and we're going to make sure it happened, and it happened. So, again, grateful for all of those connections and the being blessed to know those people. So go in the associate AD of compliance and in charge of that office at South Florida. I did that for about a year. Jocelyn leaves to go to Boston College, and so the AD at South Florida was like, I went and approached him about the job. Wasn't really sure. I hadn't been there, but, you know, just saying I would be interested in, you know, either applying for this job or knowing more about how I can get there. And he was like, I'm so glad that you came, because I was thinking about you for this job anyway. So then I get that job after a year and a half, and I did that for 4.5 more years, and then just recently made the transition here to Nebraska. So, it's been an interesting piece. I do credit the compliance piece when you were saying that. It prepared me a lot for everything that I'm doing, because I think compliance officers are problem solvers at our root, and that's what we're charged with doing, and that's basically what I feel like we're doing now in some of these more executive-level positions, is how are things working. I supervise 5 areas that I've never worked in before. I'm not an expert in those areas, and I don't pretend to be, but I do know, you know, about how do we bring to get people together, how do we keep, how do we have a vision for what the department is, and everybody try to move people in that vision. So, I'm grateful for my story. It was not always easy, and I know we all talk about that, but I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Okay, I got to slow you down. Okay, so yes. You go from Florida to Nebraska. What was
yes,
the
ma'am.
Thought process behind that?
So I am from Ohio originally, like I said. But I, you know, going to school in Mississippi, that was really kind of, that's just who I am. I wanted to do something different. So I applied to 4 schools, 2 HBCUs, Mississippi State and Ohio State, just because of being a resident of the state. And I really knew I didn't want to go to Ohio State. I wanted to go out because I felt like staying at home might have been a distraction. So we went, we visited, and my mom went with me to all of the other out-of-state campuses, and she really, really liked Starkville. I was kind of, you know, hesitant on it. I wanted to go to one of the other schools, but she was like, I think this is the place for you, and it's going to be great. And she was right. So I've done this before. Like, it's not abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
This portion of my life, I feel like when I took this job, we severely lack diversity here. One, it is a Power 5 job, so there's that. I will acknowledge that. And it's also in the Big 10, which is a conference that I grew up knowing and wanting to work in. But this job specifically, we lack diversity here, but our kids are still here. And I really felt what really pushed me to take this opportunity was I felt like that the minority students here needed to see someone like me doing the work and also being able to make the decisions. And so that really pushed me, and it's a great opportunity, but outside of that, that was very heavy on my heart to do. So it has been good. I am literally the first minority that's ever been on executive staff here. And it's different. I acknowledge it's different, but I know that, you know, there's a reason that I'm here and there's some work that God wants me to do. So I'm doing it. But the kids were at the center of my heart. Like, they needed to see this.
So we say thank you for stepping into the growth of that, because we know that's not easy. We appreciate you being able to see that. So did you just, were your relationships help you secure the position, or did you just put your name in the hat?
I just put my name in the hat, Monique.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I just put my name in the hat. I saw it. It had come open once, summer of 2021, and then they had an AD change. It was my current boss, Trev Alberts. He came in August, and the search was ongoing, but since he was new, he had asked the SWA that was in the role to stay. She was retiring, so he asked her to stay another semester to give him an opportunity to get his footing, and then he put her in charge of the search. to find a replacement, which was different because I, you know, that doesn't usually happen. And so I just put my name in a hat, and so I went through the whole thing, the Zooms, with the search committee, and I wasn't. I mean, I thought I did a good job, but I was like, I'm not sure. You know, I have the skills. I know I have the skills. I know I meet the qualifications. So we'll see. And so then they called me, and they were like, okay, we're gonna bring you to campus. So I was like, oh, okay, you know. So I go, and then when I was here, I thought the interviews with the staff and the coaches and student athletes went well. And then, you know, they offered it, and it was nobody. Really called for me or any of those things. I did just kind of step out, and I was kind of like, let me see how this goes. And it went well, and it's worked out. So,
see, that's definitely why I wanted everybody to hear. Because, I mean, most times we say, you know, it's who knows you. But also, mm-hmm. this path here, you got to know yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got to know your own value.
Mm-hmm. You are absolutely right, and I think, too, you know, most people would probably look at it and be like, you know, like you said, in Florida to go to Nebraska as a black woman, and then, it, you know, just, and I have to bring my family, too, so that's another part. I have a husband, I'm married, and I have a 12-year-old child, so I have to be intentional with these things, and so my values have to align, and the department, it has to be a fit for me, you know, totally. And so you do have to know yourself, because you have to know what you're looking for. You have to know what you want to get out of this or what you're bringing to the table. Like I told you, one of the main reasons that I came. So you're absolutely right. You have to really be clear on what you want and what and how you can bring the best to the institution and what the institution can do for you.
Well, I want to hear exactly about your duties after we take this short break and chat with us.
Okay.
Yeah. All right?
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Did you know that athletic identity is one of the top three struggles athletes experience, especially in terms of their talent? My name is Zedrilyn Butler, and I am a former Division I NJCAA and NCAA women's basketball player. My book, 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete, is a great resource for parents, coaches, and supporters to equip their college athletes. Pick up your copy at www.payhip.com/theballcode. Together, we can beat athletic identity.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Ford, former student athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Malik, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chapman Garden, where Smith is blooming in athletics and sports. So, Makita, talk about how your duties, because you have graduated from compliance, correct?
Right.
So tell us what you do now.
Okay. So this role is the I'm over all of the performance units. So here that means sports medicine, strength and conditioning, sports psychology. We have what we're called the Nebraska Athletics Performance Lab. So it's the data science portion of our department. And I'm forgetting one. There's five. Nutrition. The biggest one. So I have those five areas. They're all, this is the first time that all of these areas have reported under one person. So when they restructured the role and the previous senior woman administrators, they added all five of these under the same person. And so, I've not done any of this, any of those units. It's all science based. And I mean, I'm okay in science. I'm not the best. And so what the biggest thing for me has been here is really the organization piece and assessing where we are. I think people always think because you're at a Power Five institution, like you have everything, and we do have a lot of resources and we're thankful for those things, but how are we using those resources? And at the end of the day, those are the direct ties to the student athlete experience, and are we meeting the needs of those students? And so that's what I've been doing. I've been here about 90 days. And so just meeting with those department heads, assessing what the needs and the wants. There's lots of wants, but what are our actual needs? And what do we need to move forward? This industry is changing, and can we survive, you know, as this industry is changing? So we're assessing all of those things. So it's been a lot of learning, getting to know people and getting up to speed. But you know, it's a challenge, and I'm here for the challenge, and I think we're going to be fine, and it'll work. I know that change is hard for people, so I try to be sensitive to that too, but at the same time, we're pushing to move forward. There's a lot of people here that I think that if they've been here a very long time, so they're used to one way of doing things. So we're trying to break some of that, and also, you know, but also respect tradition at the same time. So it's just a balancing act, Monique, all the time. And I can't make everybody happy. I'm not trying to, but I want them to know that I am here for them. I support them, my employees and their employees, and we're going to try to do the best we can by everyone.
Well, I want to suggest this resource. So you heard me talk about the magazine, Significance in Athletics and Sports. And so the third issue, which is spring 2022, Dr. Kalita Moore, she's at Arkansas State University, but she wrote an article, Cultural Competencies in the Athletic Training World. And so I would invite you, since it's you over the performance area, you know, even though nutrition is not maybe the athletic trainer part, but she does, she puts something called the trust system together. And so, I talked about, you know, growth and your growth and having something that you could refer to as it relates to one of the main reasons why you came to the institution was, so I just want to share that resource. You can get that if you want the copy in your hand. You can go to Amazon. Or you know what? Take that back. Since it's one person, I'm not like I'm talking to the masses. You know, I do have a couple copies here, so you can go to payhip.com, Seeds of Empowerment. So payhip.com/Seeds of Empowerment. You can buy the paperback, or you can buy the PDF. Right.
Okay.
So they're both on that in our store. But I just think, you know, from your, because again, would you even been able to know a place to go to even address that? You see what I'm saying? So this is what I do believe. Sometimes you want to get a point across, you can't tell somebody. You have to give them the book themselves so they can take ownership of where it is you're trying to get them to see.
Yes. Agreed.
And so, I've done it a many a time. And it's funny because then they start telling you stuff that you already told them before. But now they get it because,
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
It's called being strategic chick, girl. That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, cultural competencies are interesting. She says something. Actually, you can check her out. She was on inside the Facebook group when we do the Meet the Contributors. So she did a Facebook Live. And it was very interesting because, again, you don't know what you don't know. Like you said, the sciences, right? Here, I didn't take a physics. I barely made out of chemistry, okay? So I was not going to try to explore anymore. And there's two things I want to say. So the one thing is she said, yeah, a breakout on memes. I don't know what she said. She mentioned some kind of breakout. She said it's going to look different on me than it would you. And so if you're a person in that and you have not been exposed to that, because when you went to school, you didn't have anybody to test that on, you just need to be aware of that.
Yeah.
So the other thing I was going to say was about you said, you know, it's a different day. And I mentioned about Delaware State, the cross thing. And I'm really glad that I even planted the seed with the coaches that I did a staff retreat. And the staff retreat was called Playing Field is Expanding. And what I touched on was I'm really glad I did was social justice. We got to talk to our kids about social justice. And not necessarily talking about it, but find out where their head is at. You know, have they entertained participating in some method? You know, do they have anybody that's been affected by social justice issues? And so if you had that conversation, you know the baseline of what you're dealing with when something like that happens. You kind of can anticipate how they're going to respond. The second is name, image, and likeness, which you heard me talk about the different programming that we have. And the third one is mental health. And so based on your role in having a performance area, what has been your take on that? Oh, she says we got 1 minute. So just give me a 1 minute answer.
I mean, I think we have to meet all of those needs and, you know, being open and, like you said, the student, we can't do it for the student athletes in some way, like with name, image, and likeness, but we got to be able to, you know, at least help them or steer them in the right direction. When it comes to, like, the mental health and, you know, some of the issues that are going on, we are blessed to have a larger staff, but we're getting these kids with all of these issues or, you know, adjustment things that they are having to do with coming to college, being away from home, and we have to meet the need. And, again, meeting it effectively and, you know, again, like it goes back, we have to have diverse people and service providers so that all these students can feel like they have someone to talk to if they want to. We can't force it on them, but, you know, not seeing anybody that looks like you in some of those areas will stop students from coming. So being aware of those things, going back to what you said, like being culturally competent, like when you're looking at these staffs, and I've been saying it since I got here, we got to look like the students we want to attract. They're not going to come because they got to be able to be comfortable or at least feel like there's somebody here that has their back. So we are making sure, that's one of the things I am pushing, that we are diverse in these areas, that we are meeting, you know, the needs of all of our students and not just some, or at least open to making sure students know they can be there. And so those are the things that, you know, we're trying to do, and it's a constant fight, but, you know, we're gonna fight and do it, and it to the best of our ability.
Well, thank you for entering the fight. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me today. I appreciate it coming, talking a little bit about myself. So I hope you all, everything goes well the rest of the week for everyone that's listening too.
Thank you. And thank you for Jomar Harrison for being my eyes and ears. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. For updates on show guests and podcast follow-ups, join us on Facebook page Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.